Again, it's good to see each one of you here this morning. Turn your Bibles, Will, to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, as we continue in consideration of these two words, I am, many things that we've seen, and this morning we want to take a look at what the Lord Jesus says here in John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Tell you what, I knew that there was great gravity and a great thing about the Lord declaring that He is I am that I am. But I never had looked at that in this way and seeing everything that the Lord says about I am relative to. And so I hope it's been a blessing and a help to you. And I've enjoyed it. It sure helped me to see about the Lord such two little words, a one-letter word and a two-letter word that are the Lord's name, and what great expression of the greatness of the Lord we find in them. Here in John chapter 8, we'll take our text here from verse number 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I am the light of the world. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day, and we thank you for your blessings upon us already in the services. Thank you for your word as it was brought forth in the Sunday school classes. Thank you, Father, for the privilege to be able to pray unto you and to lift our voices in praise and singing to you. Lord, we just praise your name for your great design and your great work and operation in our midst. Thank you for saving us and making us your own, putting us in your church. And Lord, revealing yourself unto us through your word. Thank you for the scriptures and the great work that you've done in inspiring them and preserving them and bringing them down to us here today. Thank you, Father, for your design in us having a day that you've set aside for us to lay aside our work and servile things of life and just focus upon you and your word and to worship you, Father, in spirit and truth. We pray, Father, for those that are here and not saved. Lord, that you'd work in their lives. Lord, that you'd call the lost unto you. Lord, that you'd save your sheep. And Lord, just use us to herald forth the word and sow the seed of the gospel and the word. And Father, we pray that you would honor it as you've promised you'll do. Help now, we pray and bless. And Lord, help us to see that Jesus is the light. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Here Jesus says, I am the light of the world. In the beginning of this chapter, we see here, it says in verse number 1, Jesus went into the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. When they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them. So we see here, we want to get the context of this leading up to this passage in verse number 12. And we see here these were the religious leadership, the scribes and Pharisees of the day. They take this woman and they bring this woman to the Lord. They remind the Lord of what the scripture says. And let's take a look, hold your finger here, and let's just get this in our minds. I think that this is likely what they're referring to. In the book of Leviticus chapter 20, verse number 10. Let's take a look over here. The law given by the Lord says this in Leviticus chapter 20, verse number 10. And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. Okay, so that's the reference They bring this woman. They refer to the law of Moses. And then they say, but what do you say? John writes here, and the scripture tells us in verse 6, they're tempting the Lord. They're looking to find a chink in his armor, if you will. They're looking to find some compromise in him that they might accuse him, that they might rail on him and raise dissension about the Lord. They don't like the Lord. They hate the Lord and his way. And so Jesus, what's he do? Well, he does something that we wouldn't expect, at least that I wouldn't expect. He stoops down and is writing on the ground. Don't you find that to be an odd response? He's writing on the ground. Of course, we've asked. I've wondered and considered for years, and what did he write? What was it that he wrote? And I'm convinced. I'm even more convinced this message than I have been in previous messages about what the Lord wrote. He wrote with his finger on the ground as though he heard them not. They continue asking him. He's like he's ignoring them. And he's writing on the ground. He says here in verse number 7, so when they continued to ask him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. So they've come to him. They've got the woman there. They've rehearsed about what Moses commanded. We've read one reference to that over in Leviticus. And Jesus is writing on the ground. They keep pressing him. He says, okay, you birds that are without sin, cast the first stone. Now understand this. The Lord knows that all of us are sinful. These fellas, his disciples, the only one that's sinless is the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't believe that the Lord says, you that are innocent of any sin, you go ahead and start throwing the rocks. I don't think that's what's happening here. I think that what Jesus is saying, you that are without transgression in what I've written here on the ground, in this issue that you've brought to me, you start throwing the stones. Fault in this issue. Are you at a point to where you can make and pass judgment in this issue? I think what the Lord was writing on the ground was what they said, their reference to what Moses had given, the commandment of the Lord, the law of the Lord. I am convinced that that's what Jesus was writing on the ground. And what did we see about that? What did we hear about that over there in Leviticus 20, verse number 10? Did you hear it? The adulterer and the adulteress would both be stoned. Now, what's going on here? Oh, this woman was caught in the very act. They make great emphasis to point that out. In the very act she was caught. How can you deny that she should not be put to death? How could you stand against that she shouldn't be put to death? But the Lord Jesus, I believe that's what he was writing on the ground, the law. It says the two of them, the man and the woman, were to be dealt with in that way. So I believe the Lord Jesus says, you that are not at fault with this, you start throwing the stones. What's the scripture say? And they, verse number 9, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. So when they were challenged with that, from the oldest to the youngest, and the oldest had an effect, I believe, on the younger. The older knew that what the Lord Jesus wrote was true. And they knew what the Lord Jesus had written, I believe, in writing the law, that they were guilty of transgressing that themselves, taken in the very act. I can't believe that the thing wasn't a setup. And the thing that they forgot, you've heard me say it before, their neighbor, their friend, their uncle, their cousin, their brother, their somebody, they didn't bring him. They brought her, but they didn't bring him. They had respecter of persons in their judgment, didn't they? And maybe it was something like that that the Lord wrote. Was that what the Lord says about being a respecter of persons? Where was the man? You know, Jesus deferred, I believe, I think we can conclude this, Jesus deferred to the Word of God. He's challenged in this thing. They're looking to find some fault with him, as they have been and will continue to do so. And you know what Jesus does? He defers to the Word of God. What a blessing. I was taught that years ago by a brother. He was dealing with a situation in a church that he pastored, and things were coming up and rising up about what needed to be done and something that they wanted to do that wasn't appropriate for that church to do at that time. And so what the brother did is he prayed, and before that church made move to do this thing that they wanted to do, no matter what it was unscriptural at that time for them because of the shape that the men were in. And you know what? The brother took the Word of God and read it to him. And a man of the membership that had been ramrodding this thing and saying that it was going to be, he stood up and he said, well, I guess the Word of God says that we shouldn't do what we were purposing to do. The Lord will honor His Word. He will. And so Jesus, He defers to the Word of God, doesn't He? I believe that that's so. All these go out, and the woman standing in the midst. Well, let's go ahead and deal with this since we're here so close. And when Jesus had lifted up himself, verse 10, he saw none but the woman. So he went ahead and stooped back down, okay? And again, verse number 8, and again he stooped down and continued to write on the ground. So he wrote initially. He challenged them. And then stoops back down and keeps on writing more scriptures. How knoweth this man letters? he's able to write that. And they're all convicted. They go out. Those young men, they look at what the older men did and they consider about the scriptures and they go out. And the woman stand in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted up himself, he saw none but the woman. And he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? Okay, are there any witnesses that stand against you? Now understand that Jesus isn't, this isn't a wink wink kind of thing that I know you're guilty, but I'm just going to let you off the hook because this is our little secret. That's the way men do things, isn't it? Wink wink, but I'll bat for you here. You know, I'll take care of you here. This isn't like that. The Lord's going to deal with her and deal with the issue. And he says, hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man. No, nobody's standing here against me. Lord, no man, Lord. See how her reply. No man, Lord. She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. So, it wasn't right what you were caught in. But you go and you follow me. You go forth and you don't follow that activity. Don't you follow after that wicked way anymore. No man, Lord. That's her reply. I think the Lord saved her in the midst of this. And he says, go, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. She saw something in Jesus, and the Lord blessed, I believe, and saved her. And then look at this, verse number 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You know what? Again, this word thee, and talk to you and mention to you about the word thee, Jesus, the Savior of the world. He is the only Savior of the world, okay? It's not that the emphasis is on the wrong thing. The emphasis is on the world, as we would naturally think and would be our tendency to think. Jesus is the Savior of the world. No, Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the Savior that is in this world. Okay? He's not of the world, but Jesus, is Jesus present? Is the power of the Lord present to save? If the Lord's present, he can save, can't he? He's the Savior. That's the, when you take about the world and you consider about this point, and the list of saviors, there's only one at the list that's truly effective in everything that there is, and everything spiritual, everything eternal, and the salvation of sinners. There's only one, and that's Jesus, thee. You know what? Jesus is the light of the world, too. He says, I am the light of the world. You know what? Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the Word to the world. They wanted to take the law of Moses and do something here that was incorrect. They wanted to take the law of Moses and take it and twist it. They wanted to take the law of God and this thing about adultery, and they wanted to take it and turn it and twist it to suit themselves, find fault with the Lord. You know what Jesus did? He wrote it out, and he shined light on it. He said, you birds that are following after this, you start throwing the stones. And then the Lord's merciful and saves this woman. Indeed, the Lord Jesus is the light, if you will allow me, of the Word to the world. He's the light. He tells the truth about it. He shows what the truth is about it. In John chapter 9, we take a look over here. And we see this about this man. And I tell you what, this is real an interesting account. And this is true. It's an account. And in John chapter 9, verse number 1, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Somebody's got to be at fault here. I mean, after all, the man is down. He's down and out. He's sick in this way or ill in this way. He can't see. He's been that way ever since we've known him. We understand that from the time he was born, he was blind. Somebody had to sin. It had to be his mama or his daddy, or it had to be him. See the doctrine at hand in that day? But the Lord straightens us out about why things come on people. Well, sometimes things do come upon us because of our sin. Sometimes things will come upon our children because of our sin. Sometimes things will come upon our grandchildren because of our sin. Sometimes things will come upon our church because of our sin. Oh, it can happen. Don't think that that's not the case. But the Lord said in this case, Jesus answered verse 3, neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. This man, God, the Lord took a life of a fella and didn't give him his sight from the time he was born so that some years later the works of God might be shown forth in him, manifest. That's what that means, revealed, open up, and shown forth. Isn't that something? I've got a message I preach. Are you ready for the works of God to be made manifest in you? Are you and I willing? It might cost us from the standpoint of this flesh, but it'll be a blessing indeed of the Lord, won't it? Lord, help us in that. And listen, look what the Lord says here. Verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The time that's at hand, the Lord and his ministry, an example to us while there's life and our time here on this earth is when we are to work for the Lord. The night cometh when no man can work. Verse 5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Look at that again. The Lord says it again, an emphasis here in this next chapter regarding this man. He says, I'm the light of the world. I take and I shine light on the darkness that the truth might be understood and known. Isn't that interesting? And the Lord is doing it. I'm going to mention something to you here in a minute. And we're going to see something here and consider something. But the Lord's doing this with a man that was blind. And he says this, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. Is the Lord in the world now? Oh, he's with us, isn't he? And he's got his word here, has his church here. Remember, we're the body of Christ. Landmark Baptist, we believe we are the body at Olmsted Baptist Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is the Lord at hand? He is. We represent him. We're witnesses of the resurrection. We've been saved by him and have the indwelling of the Spirit, the blessing of the Lord being put in his church, and the work of the Holy Spirit, work of the Comforter amongst us. The Lord's at hand. And he's chosen to use this means. And his churches all over the world, his churches that are all over the world, are representative of him to go on and do the work that he started and the fulfilling of that great commission and those things related to that. He says, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. Is the Lord the light of the world now? Indeed he is. What goes on here? And when he had spoken that, he spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle, anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay, said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And this man too, look at this. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. And I think about this fellow. How did he get there? Did he grab a hold of somebody? He said, I'm needing to go. He's blind. The Lord's told him, go wash. And he believes the Lord. And so he says, point me in the right direction. And then he runs into somebody else or grabs a hold of him, or there's somebody that's there that was willing to lead him. Maybe somebody there that was present. Maybe one of the disciples took him and led him. Somehow he got there. How did he get there? He asked along the way, am I going the right way to the pool of Siloam? He got, but the Lord said, go. And that blind man went, not being able to see yet. But somehow he got there. He went his way, therefore, the latter part of verse 7, and washed and came seeing. And so the Lord's healed this man. And it was just like the other fella. He got up and went. And they said, like Brother Bobby read this morning, he went and said, who? Don't know. Same way with this fella. The neighbors heard it. Verse number 8 and 10, some said it wasn't him. Some said he looks like him. He said, no, I'm him. I'm him. I'm the one that you knew that was blind. How were you healed? He said, a man called Jesus did this to me. He told me to go and wash, and I received my sight. Verse 12 said, where is he? He said, I don't know. I don't know. He didn't know what the Lord Jesus looked like. He knew it was Jesus, but he didn't know what he looked like. He wasn't able to recognize him. He was still blind at the time that the Lord put the clay on. They brought him to the Pharisees, and I trust you know the account. It's a Sabbath day again when the Lord's healing. Terrible that Jesus is healing on the Sabbath, huh? And they ask him about it. He told them, verse number 16, and then they said, this man is not of God because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. It said, how can he heal? It's a Sabbath day. Not supposed to be doing good things on the Sabbath day. Not supposed to be working. That really caused the Lord to break a sweat, didn't it? He's the Lord of the Sabbath. He gave it to us. He's not bound by it. He does what he wants to. But the Jews didn't believe it. So they call up the parents, right? Is this your son? Yeah. Is he born blind? Yeah. Said, okay, how is he able to see? So you'll have to ask him, but we're not going to answer. There was a threat at hand, wasn't there? They feared, verse number 22, because the Jews had said, you line up with Jesus. You line up and say that you even give the hint that he's a Christ, the Messiah, you're going to be put out of the synagogue. So they didn't want to get involved. He's of age, ask him. In verse number 24, they called the man, he's blind, said unto him, give God praise. We know that this man's a sinner. Give God the praise. This fella, he can't be doing this. He said, don't attribute this to this man. He said, attribute this to God. Okay? Verse 25, he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Sinner or not, by your definition, what you're saying, I don't know. But I know I was blind, and now I see. Jesus says, I am the light. I'd never thought about this before and until consideration of this message. What good is the light without sight? What good is the light without sight? I never thought about that before. Close your eyes. What good is the light without sight? You know, and we understand some of the physics in that with light, maybe there are situations where there can be heat and that is a benefit. But what good is the light without sight? Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. And he's dealing with this fella, and he has given him physical sight. Isn't that something? What is the light without the eye? And like I said, maybe heat would be a benefit of the light. You know, we get light from the sun and we also get heat from it indeed. But what else? Well, sight's a big part of our life and existence, isn't it? It is. I can imagine what it would be to be blind. But we fear being blind. But what good is a light without sight? And here the Lord gave this man his physical sight. And he says, I was blind, but now I can see. He'd never seen before, and now he's able to see. What did he do to you? They ask him in verse 26. And he said, I told you already. And they reviled him and said, you're his disciple. He said, you know, you've asked me and asked me and asked me. You want to follow after him? And said, we're Moses' disciples. Said, you're his disciple. We're Moses' disciple. He said, we know that God spake unto Moses, verse 29, as for this fellow, we know not whence he is. The man answered and said unto him, why herein is a marvelous thing that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened my eyes. Said, you make no claim to him or to know where he's from or what he's doing. And he said, you've told us all my life that you know the spiritual way and that you are our instructors and our teachers, and yet this man has done something that hadn't been accounted of in all the accountings that we have in the scripture, and you don't know where he's from? You know not whence he is? Why, herein is a marvelous thing that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, and be careful with that. That's not talking about this is a man that has just been physically healed. This man's not spiritual yet. So don't take a misquote, because is not God omnipresent? Is not the Lord omniscient? He's everywhere and he knows all. He hears all. So don't take this man and misquote him. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. Those that are not the Lord have no, or not the Lord's, have no power with God. Okay, but don't take this misquote and think that the Lord doesn't hear sinners. He does. He hears everything. Okay? But if a man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man hath opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. And so he said, the record shows this had never been done before, but he's done it, and you don't know about him. And then, of course, they run him down, and they answered and said unto him, thou hast altogether born in sins, dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Verse 35, now the spiritual. He's healed him physically. When Jesus heard that they had cast him out and went, and when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus says, I am the light. He healed this man so he could see physically, and he visited him and touched him so that he got his attention. And then he dealt with him on the spiritual need and at the spiritual level, and he says, have you believed? Dost thou believe on the Son of God? Because see, Jesus is the light. He shines the light. This man may have thought that his greatest need was that he receive his physical sight. But you know what Jesus knew? That the man's greatest need is that he receive his spiritual sight, that he be saved. And Jesus shone the light on it. Why was this man born blind? Somebody surely had to have sinned. No, the Lord says, I'm going to shine the light today in this man's life. Jesus is the light of the Word to the world. In chapter 12, in John chapter 12, we see here coming very near to the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. And Mary anoints his feet in verses 1 through 8. The chief priests conspire to put Lazarus to death in 9 and 11. Jesus enters into Jerusalem triumphant, in a triumphant way, as was prophesied in verses 12 through 19. The Greeks come and inquire of the Lord, and Jesus is focused on the cross. And we have the response of the Father to him. I have glorified it and will glorify it again, as the Lord Jesus obeys. In verses 30 to 34, Jesus speaks of his purpose and death. And we come to verse number 35. The scripture says, Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Did you and I know about our condition before the light shined and showed us? Did you and I know about where our condition was taking us until the light did shine and showed us? And see, the light shined, and if you will, this is a spiritual fair, but the light of the Lord shines and we can see with the spiritual eyes. He's the light of the world. He takes, or maybe you're in a shape that you misunderstand the scriptures. You're taking the scriptures and you're taking them like this. Maybe you're in a shape to where you're even taking the scripture of the Lord and misusing it against God. Rather than hearing and believing what the Lord says plainly and flat out to you, you're taking the scripture and you're saying, well, this, that, and so, and the other, because God says this. You know what the Lord can do? And I pray he will. He can shine the light on that to show the truth. Just like those fellows did with the woman taken in adultery. They were taking it and they were respecter of persons, and they were taking it out and they wanted to kill that woman. They wanted to put her to death. And you know what? Jesus shines a light on it. We pray as the Lord's children that the Lord will shine the light on what your need is. Because when he does, indeed you will see. You will see indeed. He says, what, in verse 36, while ye have light, believe in the light. Believe in it. Believe in what he says, what he tells, the truth that he is. Believe in him that ye may be the children of light. While ye have light, believe in the light that ye may be the children of light. Receive the Lord, as many as receive him. It says in John chapter 1, receive him and what he says, his truth, and don't twist it, don't distort it, but hear it as the Lord gives it and tells it. Because you're not the light. You have no understanding of yourself. Jesus is the one that is the light, and he's the light of the Word to the world. Okay? It goes on to say, it goes on to tell here in verse 37 through 41 about John's commentary and a reference to Isaiah's prophecy, the secret faith of some of the Pharisees in verses 42 and 43. And then we come to verse number 44 where Jesus says, Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me, along the line of what Brother Bobby read this morning. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. He's the light of the world. He is the light. Jesus says, I am the light. To every issue, every problem, and your greatest problem that the sinner has is the need of the forgiveness of their soul and the forgiveness of their sins, and the granting to them of everlasting life by the Lord. Jesus has the answer and is the answer to all that. He is the light. I am come a light into the world. Remember, he's crying this. I wonder if he isn't, from the human standpoint, isn't crying this out of an element of frustration. And I know the Lord doesn't get frustrated at anything, but yet the Spirit of God is grieved and the Spirit of God is quenched. Now, I know what the Lord purposes to do. He does. I understand that. But he's crying this. Understand, I am the light. I am the light. And with me, you can see. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words, I failed to read something over here in John 8. I'm just going to read it to you here. In this same chapter, beyond where we considered in verse number 12, it says in chapter 8 of John, verse number 31, then said Jesus unto those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's the reason I say that Jesus is the light of the word to the world. They were taking the word of God and twisting it. They were taking the word of God and misusing it. And here we have that the Lord Jesus says, I am come a light into the world. And the pinnacle of that, the climax of that is that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Are you in darkness? Jesus is the light. Do you not understand about what the Word of God says, or maybe misuse the Word of God or twist the Word of God? Jesus is the light. Do you know you're a sinner and you need a Savior and that you have that condemnation of sin upon you? Jesus is the light. And he says here, it's always the light is a reference back to his word, isn't it? And if any man hear my words, verse 47 of chapter 12, and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. That's the reason for his first advent, his first coming, was to come as Savior. You know what? He shines the light on the word. And if you don't believe it, you don't receive it, you've got that same word that he has spoken, breathed by God, that will judge you. Verse 48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. It all comes back to the word, doesn't it? And Jesus shines the light on the word. And that you that are here without Christ, that you might know, and what he has just said, what we've just read there, is that you reject him. You reject his word. You know what? The light that's shining on, and the Lord is revealing, he said, that same word will judge you in that last day. You stay that way, you refuse the light, you reject the light, you reject the light that the Lord shines upon his word, that word will be used to judge you. Jesus is shining the light on it and telling the truth. He's the light. I am the light, the Lord Jesus says. Verse 48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, not a freelancer, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. You know what? Everything that Jesus is saying is backed up by the Father. Matter of fact, he received it of the Father. Jesus says, I am the light. And you know what the Father says? Amen. Amen. Verse 15. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting, that whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Understand? Jesus is the light of the word to the world. How are you with the Lord's word? How are you with what the Lord has said? Jesus, in these scriptures, in these passages, this message, Jesus says, I'm the light that shines on that to tell the truth about it. what I tell about it, what I tell about the Word, what I tell about you, what I tell about the true eternal situation at hand, it is the truth, and I shine the light on it. Do you receive it? Or do you reject it? Do you believe me? Or do you reject it? Jesus is the light of the world.